tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Sunday afternoon service of July the 2nd, 1989. Moody's are the teachers for the afternoon.
Well, we'll turn the rest of the afternoon to Gene and Earlene, and then we're going to practice what they teach us. Amen. And I haven't got a chance to talk to Gene yet to see how much water they had down there to swim in. But they made it all right up yesterday, so it wasn't too deep. But we're swimming in the water of the Lord up here, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we rebuke any problem in this physical body in the name of Jesus. I curse it in the name of the Lord. I rebuke it, you foul spirit. I bind you out of here and off of Gene. Bind you to the day of the judgment in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. I break your dominion over him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank
praise
you,
God.
Lord. That old devil tries that every once in a while when Gene comes up here to upset his stomach.
Can you hear me okay? That's the way I get attacked. I don't understand it. Early and I've even started, we no longer eat lunch. We just simply skip lunch, and it gives us a chance to fast and pray and seek the Lord or rest or whatever. So I didn't even have any lunch, and I still got attacked. So I don't understand it. But God is greater. Today I'm going to teach you about what I just call selected topic studies. You can call that the title of the tape if you want to. And it's just a series of things that have been on my mind, and I just wrote them down. They're basically short subjects, and I pray that they will bless you. Did the brothers from the full gospel leave?
Yes. They went on to Nashville.
I thought about one thing. I was wanting to say it to them while they were here, but I say it to all my full gospel brothers all over the world. I'm a lifetime member of FGME, what I call it, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. And it helped me a lot through salvation. I was saved before I came into it, but basically it was good for me in the area of salvation, baptism, the Holy Spirit, and healing. But unfortunately, they stopped when God showed me deliverance. So we had to go on with the Lord. And I recommend you go on with God. All over the world, I recommend you go on with God. It's been good for Earlene and I to go on with the Lord. Now, what I find is most people are in a box. You're in a denominational box or whatever you want to call it. And most people can't go any further than their denominational box. And it's really sad. But if you want to have God's blessings, you have to go on with the Lord, and you have to get out of your little box. Now, some thoughts about camp. Camp to me, physically, is tiring, spiritually, it's refreshing, mentally, it's challenging, and materially, it's a blessing to me to see the people help with our support for the camp. We do both things. We come up here and we support the camp with their time, and we support the camp with their finances. And I recommend you do the same. They're good stewards of the money that comes into the camp. Now, let's talk some about abortion. Abortion is murder and a sign of God. It will probably be the straw that broke the camel's back and caused God to allow the United States to be destroyed by its enemies. And let's look at some scripture. Psalms 139:13-16. Psalms 139:13-16. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So basically, we are made by God. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29, 15 and 16. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down will be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He had no understanding? So it's talking about the potter and the clay. God is a potter and we're the clay. Chapter 42, verse 5. Chapter 42, verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, He hath created the heavens and stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. God gives us breath and spirit. 43:1-7. 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Verse 7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Chapter 44, verse 24. 44, verse 24. I find it interesting, all these verses about abortion are in Isaiah. Isaiah 44, 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spread abroad the earth by myself. 45:9. 45:9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker, let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hands. Verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. So God created man upon the earth. 49:1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath He made mention of my name. Verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob again to Him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. So God made mention of my name in the womb. 63:16. 63:16. Doubtless thou art my father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Our Father is the Lord, Almighty God. 64:8. 64:8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. So we are the works of God's hand. Any of you believe that God didn't create us? Are there any of you out there that believe that it's all right to kill babies? Do you think you have a right to take your own life? Do you think you have a right to take anybody's life? Now, here's a good one. Picketing. It is popular now in Christianity to picket the abortion clinics. The preachers are getting on the bandwagon. What is not popular is teaching the congregation about sexual sin and its consequences and having deliverance thereafter. If the preacher does not have the courage to teach about sin and the aftermath, then he shouldn't get excited after the damage has been done. As Erling says, it's like trying to get the animals out after the barn is on fire. It would be better by trying to prevent the barn from catching on fire. Do you understand what I just said? What should we do? We should teach our young people about these things, about sexual sin, about the consequences of sexual sin. Not get all up on the bandwagon after they're pregnant and looking for an abortion. Okay, I got a little prayer for those in the fivefold ministry. If you're in the fivefold ministry, If you think that you have a ministry, you're a lay person, and you have a ministry, I'd like you to stand. All the ministers in the fivefold ministry, stand up. This is a real simple little prayer, but I think you need to stand. Okay, if you feel you got a call on your life, stand up. It's for all of you. Okay, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, forgive me for being a coward. For not teaching the unadulterated word of truth. For letting people perish. Because I'm afraid of man. And not afraid of God. Teach me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. That I can be what you would have me to be. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. What about the after effects to the mother after abortion? After abortion, there is an increase in sterility of 5%, of miscarriages an additional 10%, of psychiatric aftermath 9 to 59% in England, of RH trouble later, tubal pregnancies rise from 0.5% to 3.5%. And premature babies from 5 to 15%. There can be perforation of the uterus, blood clots to the lungs, infection, and later fatal hepatitis from blood transfusions. Now I'd like to look at the subject of binding, loosing, and agreeing. Binding and loosing in agreement is one of the most effective weapons in our warfare that can be used for deliverance as well as our everyday life. We can bind or loose anything that God has given us the authority to bind or loose. Now let's look at some scripture over in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Most of these scriptures you probably know. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. 18 through 20. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It's talking about binding and loosing. Chapter 28, 18 through 20. Chapter 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. All power is given unto God, to Jesus Christ, in heaven and in earth. John 20, 21 through 23. John 20, 21 through 23. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. This is talking about remitting and retaining sins. 1 Corinthians 5, 4 through 5. 1 Corinthians 5, 4 through 5. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. All right, they did that with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. They basically turned the person over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. So they basically that the person might come to their senses and get saved. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the name, in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. For your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Do you think you should study Satan's devices? If you don't study them, will you be ignorant? Absolutely. We're not supposed to be ignorant of his devices. You might say that early, and I major on studying Satan's devices, the things that God tells you not to do, the things that will harm you in the Bible. We major in that side of the Bible. We major in the things that you're going to be judged for. We major in the judgment of God, what will cause you to be judged. 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So if we ask anything according to his will, then God will hear us and he will answer our prayers. What is binding? Binding is a temporary measure and should be done daily. If we can't cast the demons out for some reason, then we can only bind them. Binding is also preparatory to casting out demons. Binding a demon will not cause him to leave. He must be cast out. One of the biggest mistakes I see, people go around there binding. They don't want to cast out something. They're binding. I bind this and I bind that. Well, all you're doing, if it's successful, is you're binding the demons within someone. You're not getting rid of those. Loosing. What is loosing? Once the demons are bound, then we can loose them out of a person. We can also loose spirits of God. We prefer to use the more direct commands to cast out demons than the word loose, such as, I command you to come out of him or her in the name of Jesus. So, to me, I think of deliverance as it's direct. I command the demons to come out in Jesus' name. Speak directly to the demons. Don't beat around the bush. And don't crouch it in some phrase that you think will sound good to the Christian world. Go ahead and be direct. Now, let's look at Mark 16:17. I think most of you know that one. But turn to it in your Bible. We're going to read it 3 times. I want you to get the impact of that verse. Mark 16:17. That's your formula for casting out demons. I'm an engineer. I like formulas. Okay, everybody got it in their Bible? Read it with me 3 times. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. You're going to drive them out. You're going to drive these devils out. Agreeing. It is very important for us to agree together in prayer to bind and loose. It is very powerful when husband and wife agree in prayer each day. It is extremely powerful when the entire congregation of a church agrees in unity and not dissension. Daily prayers. Binding, loosing, and agreeing should be done on a daily basis, not necessarily just for deliverance, but for our home and family, our finances, our job and business, our country, our ministry, and so forth. I like the way our brother prayed up here. When Glenn asked him to come up and pray, I like the way he prayed. See, he was entering into warfare. I like that. And the chances are great that something was done. Something happened in the spiritual world. Okay, let's talk about Satan. Satan is a gradualist. You know what a gradualist is? That's somebody that creeps up on you. The way that Satan and his demons track humans is gradualism, the slow, methodical driving of a person to do a little sin at first, which leads up to a lot of sin in the end. If Satan tried to get us involved too quickly, we would recognize his tactics and refuse. So Satan wants you to just do a little sin. It won't hurt anything, just a little bit of sin. Nobody will see you. So he paints sin in a beautiful way so that we will try it. For instance, take the cigarette advertisements. The beautiful, sexy woman is used to show how great it is to smoke. Satan doesn't show you the end of the story when the man is lying in the hospital, coughing up blood, gasping for breath, and dying of lung cancer. If you were the surgeon and you open up these people's lungs and you could see the black lungs, the black deteriorated lungs, you wouldn't smoke. But if you let television tell you what to do, you may very well smoke. Steps leading to possession. There are many steps from an innocent child to a demon-possessed old person. Probably the steps would fill a biographical book about the life of the individual. So there's many steps. It's not just a few, it's many. The following are seven steps which Satan used to take over an immortal soul. So this is just more or less seven categories here. But I think there's probably many, many steps in these. Number one is regression. Reversion to earlier behavior patterns to go backwards. Number two, repression. I'm getting stronger as I go along here. To restrain, to squeeze, to prevent natural expression, to keep down, to hold back. Number three is suppression. To press under, keep back, conceal, an exclusion of desire and feeling. Number four is depression. Low spirits, gloominess, dejection, sadness, a decrease in force or activity, an emotional condition, either neurotic or psychotic, characterized by feelings of hopelessness or inadequacy. Can you see how it's getting stronger? Oppression, pressure to crush, to smother, to overpower or overwhelm, to harass, ravish, or rape. Obsession, to besiege, to haunt as of evil spirits, a fixed idea to an unreasonable degree. Possession, to inhabit, to occupy, to control, to hold as a property, to dominate, to actuate, being ruled by extraneous forces. All right, when you have reached the point of possession, you are ruled by others, not yourself and not God. Now, what is our view of possession? Earlene, how do we see possession? I think Earlene will agree with me here. We have never seen a Christian who was totally possessed by demons. And we worked with some people in pretty sad shape. But they weren't totally possessed. It is common to see Christians who have demons, probably all Christians. If you have a demon that keeps you from obeying the Bible, then you're possessed in that area. For example, suppose that you're an alcoholic or a glutton. Then you're possessed in the area of alcohol or food intake. If you can't control your body, then who is controlling it? Check yourself out by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is there anything in your life that does not glorify Jesus Christ, further the kingdom of God, follow the Bible, quieting the Holy Spirit within you, make good sense, and so forth? So check yourself out. Think about it. Saul's experience. King Saul really had a testimony after his goods were gone. He even preached. Let's review briefly his experience. He had a new heart, was changed into another man, and served God for years. Yet he yielded to a suicide spirit and killed himself. And he talks about this in 1 Samuel chapters 10 through 31. Notice how he went from step to step. Okay, we'll take these seven steps up here that I gave you, and we'll apply those to King Saul and see about how he comes out here. Okay, number one, he was obsessed. He was obsessed with popularity. He obeyed the people. That's one of the biggest failings of preachers. They're obsessed with popularity and they obey the people. They're more afraid of the people than they are of God. He confessed to Samuel instead of God. Pride, he was big in his own sight. Greed, he thought of the spoil. Evil spirit, he left his mind. The evil spirit left his mind when David played the music in 1 Samuel 16:23. All right, he went up to the next step. He went up to the step of oppression. Rebellion, stubbornness, hypocrisy. He justified himself. He had hatred and envy because David was more righteous. He had anger and murder. He tried to kill David. He had an evil spirit, and it failed to leave as David played. 1 Samuel 18:10 through 11. Notice, as he grew stronger in evil, the demon spirit didn't leave. First it left, and then it wouldn't leave. Number three, depression, grief, sorrow, trouble, regret, despondency, discouragement, and despair. So these things began to come over him. All right, then he went to recession. He gave up his profession. In desperation, he went to a witch. Now, he had already driven the witches out of the land. So you can't say he didn't know better. And just an interesting point there. I think that was Samuel that came up. That was not a demon. God allowed Samuel to come up. Typically, the medium brings up a demon. In that case, I think it was the real spirit of Samuel. Now, finally, he was possessed. He was forsaken by the Lord. There was no answer. There was no deliverance. He practiced witchcraft. He had awful fear, suicide. He's lost forever. That's just an example of King Saul in the Bible. Now, was Saul originally chosen by God to be king? Started off right, didn't he? But he ended up wrong. And he went through a series of things that allowed him to get in this condition. Could he have turned back at any point? Could he have repented and turned back? I believe he could. I believe God gave him many chances like he does with all of us. Now, let's look at a series of scriptures that I think tie together. They're Ezekiel 13, 17 through 23, Jeremiah 3, 21 through 25, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel 9, 10, and Obadiah 3:10 and 17. I'm going to run through these. I think these tie together what I feel like is my interpretation out of them. All right, let's look at Ezekiel 13, 17 through 23. Ezekiel 13, 17 through 23. When I go through things like this, I feel like calling up Tommy. But at this time, back when I did this, the thought didn't occur to me before I taught it this time. The thought occurred to me, it'd be good to sit down with Tommy and ask him about this. In fact, when I get finished this, later on, Tommy, tell me if you think I'm on the right track here. I'd just like for you to judge this. But this is what I got out of this. Okay, Ezekiel 13, 17 through 23. Ezekiel 13, 17 through 23. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillars, wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly. And I will tear them from your arms, and I will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand, to be hunted, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sin, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore you shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, what I got out of those verses, number one, people prophesy out of their own heart. They have false visions. Number two, they hunt the souls of my people. They hunt the souls of God's people. They practice divination. Number three, the lies have made the righteous sin. Number four, there's vanity, divine divinations, and polluting God. Now, I might comment a little bit about that. Do you know as you as a Christian can pollute God by your behavior? You can make God ashamed in the eyes of the people by your behavior. Number five, through witchcraft, God's people can become depressed, captive, killed, backslidden, and entrapped. Okay, we need to... Let's just say a little prayer. along this line. Lord Jesus, I forgive my enemies, false prophets, diviners, liars, vain people, and witches. We break all soul ties and curses from them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's look at the sins of ancestors and ourselves. Jeremiah 3, 21 through 25. Jeremiah chapter 3, 21 through 25. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. All right, what I see there is, one, return to God and be healed of backsliding. Two, there's shame, confusion, sin, faithlessness, idolatry, and dishonor in backsliding. Three, we need to ask God to forgive us, our ancestors and us, and to heal us from our backslidings. And then we cast out shame and confusion. Okay, let's say a little prayer. Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
we forgive our ancestors.
And ask that you forgive us
and heal us from our backslidings.
For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Now, Daniel chapter 8, that's a long chapter, so I'm not going to read that. And it talks about the end times. Now, here's what I got out of that chapter. Number one, there's going to be evil coming against the saints, God, and the church leaders. Number two, the transgression of God's people who feel secure and do nothing. Do you know that you can transgress against God if you feel secure and you do nothing and the world is deteriorating around you? Number three, permission was given by God for forces of evil to fight against us. Do you think the forces of evil can do anything that God won't let them do? No. Now, we give them the right to fight against us, but God has to give them permission. Number four, exceeding limits of God's mercy for our sins. God has tremendous, it really amazes me, God has tremendous limits in His mercy in the time that He gives us to repent, like He gave Saul. All right, there's dark trickery and craftiness brought about by forces of witchcraft. Now, to me, I feel like Daniel chapter 8 is a prophecy for the end times. However, it could be happening today in a measure as a beginning of the end. Evil will wax worse and worse. Do you believe that evil is waxing worse and worse? I do. Now, let's look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 10, talking about disobedience. Daniel 9, 10. Daniel chapter 9, verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants the prophets. What I see there is, number one, we have disobeyed God. Two, when God's laws are broken, we are cursed. You think God curses you when you break His law? Absolutely. Number three, God told early that He can no longer bless our nation, but will only bless individuals. How about that? That's rather shocking, isn't it? Do you think our nation has reached a point that God can no longer bless it? God will always bless the individuals who follow Him. In fact, I really believe He blesses the unsaved but when the things that they do that are right. So if you want the blessings, it's going to be a function of you and yourself. The future of the nations of the world, Obadiah. Let's go to Obadiah. That's right after Amos. It's a hard one to find. And I want to look at three verses there. Obadiah, verse 3, 10, and 17. Verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, that thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? How's that for a prideful statement? Okay, verse 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. So he had violence against his brother. And 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. That's rather comforting, isn't it? Okay, what I see out of those verses is, number one, it's a pride and wrong in other Christians. You might say Christian pride and wrong in other Christians. Many times we wrong other Christians. Number two, there shall be deliverance for those who escape, and it shall be holy, and they shall repossess their former possessions. And I really think that's true. As you clean up your act, I think you will repossess your former possessions. There's a verse in the Bible about the taking away the caterpillar, the locust, and so forth. As I think Earl and I have cleaned up our act, and we're still cleaning it up, God has given us back things that Satan took away from us. So I think you can repossess your possessions. Now, I want to read this to you. I believe this camp, let me just say this, this camp believes very strongly in prayer, very strongly in intercessory prayer. Early and I both believe in that too. We don't practice near as much as we should. We'd like to have more time with the Lord, but I have an extremely busy profession. It really keeps me hopping. But I believe very strongly in prayer, and I really believe there's a ministry of intercessory prayer. I frequently pray for people as I go through the day, but I think there are probably people who are called. You think that's true, that people called into intercessory prayer as a ministry, and I do. I think there's some people that God has given that gift or given that burden. But I think it's very necessary for us to pray. And this is the way the Lord has impressed us to pray. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. You begin to see where we're coming from, how we pray on a daily basis. And this is, my colleagues, our form prayers. Okay, these are our daily prayers. Preface. Part of your battle in the Christian world is your daily prayers. It is desirable to establish a pattern for your daily praying. I find it good to develop good habits. I try to develop good habits, things that I do on a repetitive basis. I'm a very organized person, and I try to be organized in the right way. You do not need to pray exactly as we do, but let the Holy Spirit show you what to pray about. It needs to be personalized for your life. These examples may help you to establish your prayers. We have several prayers we use almost every day except for interruptions. These prayers help us to get the day started off in the Lord. As priest and head of the home, I pray out loud, and Erlene agrees with me. It is very important and powerful for husband and wife to agree together in prayer. And I might say that I have really seen some wonderful things happen through Erlene and I getting together and agreeing as husband and wife, as minister and co-minister, and praying together. It's very powerful. On the other hand, it's extremely detrimental if you and your wife can't get together. If you and your wife have strife, heaven becomes like brass when you pray. So it's extremely important to be able to do this. Prayer of thanksgiving. I usually get up at 6 a.m. every morning. After toiletries, I exercise and then give thanks to God to get the day started off right. It is extremely important that we maintain an attitude of gratitude towards God for the constant help that He gives us. And we've seen this over and over again in our lives. If you're grateful, you're going to have a much better life. I see a lot of people that are ungrateful go around with a sourpuss face. Oh, you're miserable. You're a miserable creature. If you're grateful to God, this will solve many of your problems and wrong thought processes. While I am getting dressed, Early may be praying in bed before she gets up. Now, this is my prayer that I say. Our dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, thank you for divine health, mental, physical, spiritual, and material for Early and I.
Thank you for all blessings known and unknown, and for showering down blessing on us so great that we cannot receive them. Thank you for the complete restoration of our bodies. Thank you for restoring Erlene's mouth, torso, and feet. Thank you for restoring my face, back, and legs. We especially thank you for restoring us from cancer and lupus. Thank you now for restoring our mouths and respiratory systems so that we can do your work. Amen. So we personalize it. Now, what's a good way to be thankful to God? To thank the Lord for what He's done for you. Right, so what I do is that helps get me thankful when I think about things. It's so easy. God has done many miracles in our life. So as you go down the road of life, well, you just forget about them. Well, God did it. That was really great. Then you just go and forget about it. Well, you need to keep before you the things that the Lord is doing. Then we have a prayer at the breakfast table. Before we eat breakfast, we pray another prayer for the food and other things. We believe that you should pray before every meal. Pray out loud if possible. If you cannot, pray silently. It is extremely important for God to bless the food you eat and to protect your body. I pray the following prayer, and Erlene agrees with me. We believe that if you don't pray, the things that you take into your body may be detrimental to you. If you do pray, things that you take into your body that would have been detrimental to you are not. So I think there's a lot of protection in praying over the food. And this is our prayer. Our dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, thank you, Lord, for a good day, for protecting us against powers, principalities, evil forces in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now notice, time and time again, warfare comes through in our prayers. I think of prayer as warfare, as well as thanksgiving. Now, Lord, we plead the blood over and bind Satan away from Erlene and I, Marie, Nathan, and Nat, that's our daughter, son-in-law, and grandson, our jobs and our clients, Manna Baptist Church, that's the church I go to, Lake Hamlin Bible Camp, Trinity New Testament Fellowship, A&E Testing, that's my son-in-law's business, our possessions and everything that we have any part in. Lord, send your angels to minister unto us, build a ring of Holy Ghost fire around us, and cover us with your blood. We pray for the United States of America and Israel, the Christians and the Jews, the churches that worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. We ask for courage, understanding, wisdom, and strength. We pray especially for the leaders and ask a double portion for our families. Excuse me. We ask, I have to take a drink of water here. We ask divine favor with you in accordance with the Holy Word of God, with each other and those we come into contact with today. We confess that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? You have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and we intend to exercise it by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, and protect us. Let us walk within your perfect will. We yield ourselves to you today. We thank you for our food, clothing, and shelter, for everything that you have done for us, known and unknown. We ask that you bless this food to our bodies, purify and cleanse it so that our temples will be fit for the Holy Spirit to reside in. All these things we ask in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Master, and Savior. Amen. All right, then we have the prayer for the day. Early and I have a habit. We usually go out for breakfast and eat in the morning. And then after we come back, we pray for the day. After the following prayer, we pray for specific needs that we feel impressed to pray about. This is a prayer for the world and things that are important to us. I pray this prayer. Early and agrees with me, and then she prays as she's led. So we pray this prayer, and then we may know some special need of someone. So we'll pray about their special needs. Dear Lord, we ask that you forgive early in our sins. We start off asking God to forgive us for our sins. Teach us and show us that we will be pleasing in your sight. We pray for ourselves, Marie, Nathan, and Nat, this day in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for each day, this day, and most of all for you. We pray for our relatives and our friends, our Christian brothers and sisters. We pray for those who labor in the field of deliverance, for their families, churches, and ministries, that you would give them a triple-fold portion of courage, understanding, wisdom, and strength. We pray for the army of the Lord, they would grow strong and mighty and be valiant and do exploits in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that deliverance would come to the forefront of Christianity. We pray for those that we have ministered to, for their families, churches, and ministries, that they would go on with the Lord. We pray for all men everywhere that they would come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray for Manna Baptist Church, for Bush and Lois, for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, for Glenn and Irma, Kevin and Patty and Daniel, for Trinity New Testament Fellowship, for Reggie and Pat. We pray for the fivefold ministry, for their families, churches, and ministries. We pray for A&E testing and for our business. We pray your blessings upon these. We bind up all powers, principalities, evil forces in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We loose the powers of God, warring angels, ministering angels, the Holy Spirit, and the sevenfold Spirit of God to come down and do a mighty battle on earth today. We bind up every force of evil and loose every force of good. We have the power and authority to do so in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the power and authority over the enemy and the use of the name of Jesus Christ, for in his name we pray, amen. Okay, what do we do in a restroom? It is not necessary to pray a long prayer out loud in a loud voice in a public place. We know one pastor would take his church to the restroom and he would make a big deal out of praying. And I really think that's detrimental. I think it's better to let people see that you pray in a restaurant and not make a show out of it. In fact, this practice may do more harm than good to Christianity. We feel it's better to softly pray a short prayer out loud than to not pray at all. We use this prayer for a meal and for a snack in public. It can also be used at home for snacks between meals. Excuse me. Our dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless, purify, and cleanse it so that we can be fit temples for the Holy Spirit to reside in. We break any curses on it and eat it with thanksgiving. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, how about prayers during the day or the night? The remainder of the day we pray as the Holy Spirit leads us. These can be prayers in other tongues or in English. These can be prayers together or alone. They can be prayers out loud or silently. They can be prayers with your eyes closed or just going about the business of life. There is no set way that you have to pray. If we have a God consciousness, the Holy Spirit is praying through our spirit without ceasing. If it is important, we try to get together to pray and agree. Sometimes we ask the Holy Spirit to impress the other person to pray at the same time when we are separated. It is beautiful to know that the other mate is praying at the same time in an emergency. I've been in an emergency, like I was in a plane one time, they couldn't get the wheels down. And boy, I was really praying. And so I asked the Lord, I said, get Earlene to pray in too. You know, so I could have somebody to agree with it. The people in the plane, I think by and large, they were probably heathen. You know, and I wouldn't do any good to pray with them. So, visualized prayer is warfare. It's warfare, it's thankfulness, it's many things. It's extremely important. And I'm sure none of us pray enough. And we've seen many wonderful things happen through prayer. Okay, now let's see. It's 4 o'clock. I've been going about 45 minutes. I got a couple other things I want to read to you. Why don't you stand up and stretch? I try to cover a lot of material, and I read it to you, which is hard on you, I realize. But this will get your blood flowing and whatever. This next thing I'm going to read to you is written by a friend of mine. In fact, he's one of my clients. He's an attorney that I work for. And this is somewhat frightening and sobering what's going on in the world. If you'll find out what's going on around you, it will really wake you up as a Christian. You'll become much more active in prayer and in warfare. If you don't know what's going on around you, you're ignorant. So you need to know what's going on around you. You need to enter in on God's sign. So everybody take a good stretch and sit down. Okay. This is an open letter to all ministers. I have just returned from a seminar in San Francisco sponsored by the American Bar Association on Tort and Religion. These things I learned have left me very troubled, and I feel I must share my concerns with you. I have an unshakable belief in the spirit and integrity of man and in his right to believe and practice any religious, spiritual persuasion of his choice. The First Amendment guarantees mean a great deal to me, and what I have observed pretends not just an eroding of this right, but in a deliberate scheme to destroy it as we have always known it. You may feel secure as you are among the mainstream of religions, and you may feel you cannot be attacked. But yours is a religion, and as such, yours is a potential target of the coming gold rush of liability exposure. You may find this incredible, but it is true. And I can back it up from my side. I'm an expert witness. My main clients are attorneys. I work for insurance companies, adjusters. I spend a lot of my time in depositions in courts and so forth. I've learned a lot about the legal system. And this man knows what he's talking about. I met an attorney from Minnesota who says cases are flooding into his office against Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, Catholic, Episcopalian churches, all mainstream churches. He is winning these cases and getting large awards and settlements. I see not this not just a liability crisis looming, but I see the potential of a stifling of religious activities and practices as a result of the duality born of the need of accountability and a push by psychiatry for control. Louisiana Revised Civil Code, Article 2315, the basic accountability article in our state reads, "Every act, whatever, of man that causes damage to another obliges him by whose fault it happened to repair it." So that's the basis of your tort law. The side of the ledger dealing with the redress of civil wrongs as opposed to the state dealing with criminal wrongs. It is the law of reparations. Every other state has a similar law, though maybe not as poetically praised. In Louisiana, we have the Napoleonic Code, which is different from every other code in every other state. It comes from France rather than England. Other states provide for punitive damages, that is, damages for more than compensating the victim or injured party for the reparations to punish or to correct as an added element. Louisiana doesn't have punitive damages. Praise God for that. Traditional methods of raising funds and donations, proselyting for converts, and recruiting for staff and ministers may result in a violation of this civil concept and fall into the category of compensable accountability. So you can't just do any way you want to do in today's society. I'm talking especially the people who have something to do with how a religious organization is run. For example, a congregation member inherits a large sum of money and decides to donate a portion of it to the church. Later, he changes his mind, prompted by a legitimate change or by some group that wishes to fabricate suits against churches, and there are numerous groups like this forming in this country, alleging that he was defrauded or deluded or hypnotized, and he goes to a psychiatrist who supports his position, saying that he was brainwashed, leading to a lack of free will to make such a disposition. Suit is filed, and the outraged jury, whipped into a torment by a skilled trial lawyer who sensationalizes the entirety of clerical recruitment and fundraising as carnival and fraud, grants a verdict of repayment and an outlandish and crippling punitive award to the injured contributor. See what's going to happen? What is happening? What if a troubled member seeks counseling and later commits suicide? The Nally versus Grace Community Church of the Valley case in California raged for nearly 10 years before the state Supreme Court finally rejected the plaintiff's claims, but set the precedent that a duty of care and foreseeable circumstances are factors to be properly considered in such cases. The original jury held for the plaintiff. If suicide was foreseeable, the church would be liable unless the member was sent to a psychiatrist. How about that? What if a member asserts that the conduct of a church official or minister constitutes molestation, abuse, emotional damage, delusion, psychological injuries, which result in loss of property, status, prestige, family, money, divorce, suicide, bankruptcy, ad infinitum? Or what if a newly recruited minister says that he or she was brainwashed, psychologically or emotionally harmed, by the recruitment, training, drills, catechisms, education, or other church routines and activities? And many people come into your church, they're willing to sue you. They want money. They're greedy. Covetous. He can go to a psychologist or psychiatrist, and the precious testimony of these experts or doctors of the mind can result in adverse and bankrupting damage or worse.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.